Okay.
Okay, so it's just it was an overload problem then. Okay.
Yeah.
So the issue is understood.
Okay. It's understood, but not fixed yet.
Okay. The next comment from Taiwan was this business about the attributes for nodes in GOCDB as to being. There is an attribute which is not in production, but from what I understand, that's sort of deprecated, and people should be going through the list of their nodes and removing from GOCDB nodes which are not in production, and that GOCDB should only contain nodes that are meant to be in production. Is that right, Antonio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
And that is basically explained by Cyril. You can read his comments in the agenda page. Does anyone have a comment to make on that? No. Okay. The PPS report and issues. If we look down at the EGE issues that were reported last week, there was one from Central Europe, and we put the answer to that in this PPS section, since it was related to PPS and a release. You can read Antonio's response. So effectively, there was a problem with some, let's say, some faulty software that was released to production, but the steps have been taken to try and ensure that that doesn't happen again. It was a communications problem. So that is also understood and hopefully fixed. Is there anything else you have from PPS?
Well, apart from the communication problem, which is true, some of the issues which have been reported, namely the failure of LCGCP on against classic SEs, could have never been found in PPS because the pre-deployment test doesn't cover that scenario. In fact, it has to be made clear that this release, for sake of the CCRC 08, was extremely accelerated. So the PPS stage was reduced to the minimum, just to test the installation and configuration. So these kind of problems could have been expected, in fact. But we have to do everything in a hurry. Also to facilitate sites who were actually waiting for the software.
Right, then there was another item, which was how to handle broadcasting of so-called transparent interventions. The normal way of, the way of announcing downtimes, scheduled downtimes, is well understood and is done through GOCDB and the KIC portal. However, there also needs to be a way of announcing transparent interventions, knowing that some transparent interventions end up in downtime. So the question was how to do this, and I think it's fairly obvious that it should somehow be tied in with a flag, for example, in the KIC portal. You schedule a downtime, and then there should be probably a flag which says it's going to be theoretically transparent, or it's an official scheduled downtime. And that way the notification goes out as normal, with perhaps an automated field that qualifies what type of downtime it is. But that way it would ensure that all downtimes, whether they're scheduled as scheduled downtimes or transparent ones, are notified, and that none sort of happen without people knowing. But there's meant to be a discussion on this. Do people have opinions?
Yes, Rolf here from France. When the new scheduled downtime procedure was introduced, there appeared also somewhat out of a sudden a new state for downtimes which was at risk. And I didn't find anywhere a definition of what this means. But anyway, this should be something which would fit into what you described. However, as far as I know, GridView treats this like a normal downtime. So at-risk downtimes are handled as if the site is not available. So there has to be some coordination between the different tools there. You cannot just say, well, the kick portal and the GOGDB just have to introduce a new feature. It must be also coordinated with the availability reports and so on.
Yes. Okay. Point taken. Antonio, did you want to say?
No, I wanted to stress the existence of this at-risk flag, in fact. And I would like to ask the ROC who raised the issue whether they thought using this flag.
But is that risk the same as a theoretically transparent downtime?
I don't know exactly what at-risk means, but...
Okay, well, it looks like a lack of documentation on what downtime's at risk implies. Perhaps the people who introduced that flag could explain it. We'll try and follow up on that. Okay, so EG issues coming from the ROC reports. First one was from ROC CERN. Antonio, do you want to say anything on that one?
No, this is just a request from Fermilab. They found that the 10-minute timeout on copy and register operations imposed by some is not enough for them, so they fail quite often. And they ask for this timeout to be increased to 20 minutes. The people from SAM found out that the thing from some perspective can be acceptable, so we wanted just to ask the other ROCs whether they have something against this decision, otherwise the timeout will be increased.
That's also an issue. In general, the issue is that the timeout is a global parameter.
Yes.
For some. It's the timeout of any SAM test.
Yes.
So, increasing this timeout for SRM in its first approximation would mean increasing it for any test, even if it's possible, in principle, to use separate timeouts for different sensors using different configuration files. Another thing is probably also the VOs should be asked if this increase would be acceptable or not, because the idea is that is it acceptable that SRM takes more than 10 minutes to respond something to the user? The tests which are discussed here are the SRM tests, in particular the LCG copy and register test run by OPS. So does it make sense that this test takes more than 10 minutes to give a result? Is the question.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a bit of a sledgehammer approach to solving the problems with SNAL, in a way, if it impacts so many people. Risky to do that. Okay, we need to have a think about that. Okay, point two, the question brought up by Central...
This is Joe Kaiser from FNAL.
Hey, Joe.
It's not clear to me what... So we're going to go forward with this then, right?
Well, I think it needs more discussion because it looks like it's going to impact an awful lot of. It could have serious repercussions if all the SAM tests get their timeouts up.
Okay, so where is this discussion going to take place then? We need to be involved in that discussion, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess it'll be you and SAM
and the VOs.
And the VOs.
Well, actually, from the same point,
I do not agree with this view. This is something that can have great, let's say, this is option for the whole service. It's something we should discuss it either here or the SAM should give us, a feedback if that's possible or not. And if we do something like that, what's the problem?
Well, some people already gave their feedback. This is technically possible, doesn't prevent SAM to work. And eventually, the timeout could be configured also in a clever way not to impact the thing at too wide a range. But as Andrea was correctly saying, the impact is on a global variable, so it cannot be done per service.
Well, it can be done per service, but using different configuration files when submitting tests for different sensors. Also, it is feasible, of course.
Yeah, it is feasible.
Easily one could set a different timeout for the SRM tests. Then the question is, do all sites agree in having an increased timeout for SRM tests or not? Otherwise, one should think about a way to increase the timeout only for one specific site, which is...
That's feasible.
Yes, of course it is still feasible, but it's reasonable.
But it would request development on some.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this needs to be continued anyway. Point three from North Europe Rock. There's this issue about how you bring new sites into production, and again, there's an answer there from the OCC or Antonio, which explains that in fact, GOCDB and BDII should have the same information. And therefore, the method suggested seems reasonable at the moment since there doesn't seem to be a better solution. But it's clearly not ideal, and we'll have to think of a better system.
Okay, well, I'll report that back to the people who were concerned about this. Okay,
thanks.
I can't really say anything more about this. You know, like for us, all these things have changed in a way that's not positive for us, and it's frustrating because we're suddenly getting tickets and saying that we're not responding to our SAM tests are not working and things like that. When you know we didn't even want these tickets to be raised in the TIC portal. So you know it was a bit frustrating for us at here at NDGF and at CSC.
Hi there. Hey, this is Antonio. I can understand, and I am with you, that it might be frustrating to see a feature widely used suddenly disappear. But it has also to be taken into account that this decision was made by the ROCs. And so the communication to the sites is, in theory, demanded to the ROCs. So they should notify the sites of any decision made that could possibly affect the normal operation.
Yeah.
This is Jules from Northern. Can I comment on this? I'm not aware that this was a decision of the ROCs. In the past, when we discussed this, for me it was the only reason this was notified was that you don't want to have a mismatch between the BDII and COCDB. And I fully can accept that you just want to warn sites, well, do you know that you have something in your BDII that's not in the COCDB? But now it's also used to raise tickets because the service behind the node or service that's not in the COCDB is monitored too. So it's also said, well, it's not functioning, and that's not something that was... the intention, as far as I understood. And that's the difference. There's a difference between observing that there is a mismatch between the COCDB and the information system and saying, well, the service is not okay and raising all kinds of tickets that sites are not waiting for.
Well, again, Jules, this is Helen. I can't agree more, as the use case that you're mentioning is part of a summary of some operational use cases I've noticed recently, and I've sent out to Nick to be discussed out at the ROC managers, because the situation is still unclear, and the code people are looking for clear instruction on what to do in such instances. Now I have to say that unless that we do have a time slot next week, I don't see how we can make progress on that.
It's okay, well, to discuss this next week.
Yeah, I'll talk to Nick and make sure that there's something put on the agenda for next week. Okay, so we have to move on. G-Lite release news. As you can see, there were four releases last week, mainly because of CCRC 08. You can read about them, but Antonio, anything to say?
Well, no, I guess the every concern.
I'm sorry also to interrupt. I've just been confirmed, because I've been away a week, that the current instruction for the codes are the latest I've heard. We've heard from this attendance to the codes that means that the fact that the codes have to raise tickets on such instance are in agreement with Steve and Nick. So that's why I think we really do have to... the code are not raising tickets out of the blue.
Okay, well, as I said, I'll talk to Nick and we'll have a discussion on that in next week's meeting. All right?
Fine, thanks.
Okay, 10 minutes ahead of time, LWRCG items. Nick didn't have a list of any issues that came from the ROC reports. Does anyone have any service interventions to tell us of, apart from the one that's listed?
John, so this is Min from HSGC. So we'll have an intervention at the end of the week, starting Wednesday. So we'll have we'll be moving a lot of our grid services from one data center to another room in our data center. So there's going to be an interruption for these services before CCRC starts.
Okay. Could you send a mail to that effect, perhaps, and we can add it to the minutes?
Yep. Sure.
Thanks a lot. Okay, Gavin. Yes.
I know. Yeah, Caster.
Caster
Atlas will be upgraded tomorrow.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week, didn't you?
2167. And the LFC will be upgraded. What?
The downtime's expected for this is, you know, how long?
So the LFC should be a transparent intervention. And the CAFTA intervention, I'm not sure. I think it's a few hours.
Six hours.
6 hours, yeah.
And this will be tomorrow.
Is that the
case
to one?
To one. Six. CAFTA 2. 216. 216. 7. Yeah. Okay, did everyone catch that? CAFTA tomorrow at CERN will be down for 6 hours.
For Atlas.
Sorry,
I have another question. This is both srm.cern.ch and the durable one, right?
It's both.
Right. FTS service review. I think
that
is. Okay. Atlas, anything to...
Atlas was a bit later in submitting the report that actually now should be there. We would have some information about the instructions on the publication of the storage space information. We asked this the same question 2 weeks ago, and then should be forwarded by Nick the correct things that should be set up by the site. Flavia should have forwarded to Nick. We would know if this information has been shared to the site.
check. Thank you, Father.
Okay. Moreover, we have some problems on a few sites, BPM sites. In the report, I have the list. We show the list of the sites, and for these sites, BPM QualiConf does not give an output. Different problems that are reported in the output, and it's could be very useful if we would be able to have this information such that we can cross check the information that should be published on the information system. It would be really useful to have the possibility to run this command as it is possible on most of the other sites. The information is not pretty clear and should be immediately visible in the report and in a minute. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I will update you later because I see that the ticket is not assigned anymore to the OCC, so it has progressed somehow, but I have to
for which one? Do you mean for BPM or for
the storage space?
Okay. So it has not been assigned?
No, it has been assigned to someone else. I have to retrieve the ticket based.
Okay, thanks. Anything for CMS? Nope. LHCB?
Yeah, there is a ticket, GIGAS ticket open for as a report. Just summarizing what the ticket says is basically LHCB would like to understand, as also agreed at the last week CCRC meetings, daily meeting, from each site descriptive page where about the status of the implementation of the SRM V2 and whether the implementation of the site complies with the requirement from LHCB summarizing a GSSD page that Flavia is.
Okay, so who is that ticket assigned to? Is it fanned out to all your sites?
Yeah, to the OCC. And Antonio.
Yes, we sold the ticket and we'll forward request to the ROCs.
Okay. Right, Alice. Any issues for Alice? Not here.
I just want to comment on what Roberto just said. I collected some of the information from the Q1. I can start some pages that I can make available to the sites on the CG so that they can add things. If this can help us to...
Absolutely, yes. This can be a starting point. Because what we are looking for is detailed information of the implementation of SRM on each site, whether the space tokens correctly defined, with namespace, path correctly defined, also one LAN pool, you know, and whether this is correctly in place.
So, if you are okay, I will involve you in the ticket, and before sending it to the ROCs, I will make sure that the template, the information is well defined. Okay.
Okay, WRCG service coordination.
Anything from Harry? Just that, as you said, there's a meeting at 5, a dial-in meeting at 5, when we will look at issues like the operational issues Roberto just mentioned.
Okay, so we're now at the OSG items, which we're half an hour early, but that'll allow people to join the meeting that Harry mentioned. So Rob, any OSG issues?
We're working with the SAM team to get information published there from OSG and our RSV project, but other than that, I don't have any items that will be necessary, I think, to discuss on this meeting.
Okay, thanks. Maria Dimu apologizes. She is at a JSPG meeting. have all the rocks that have had a chance to look through their outstanding issues as tickets opened against them. And let's say rather than Maria having to chase people and comment, it might be good to do a round table of the rocks so that each rock can comment on their tickets, so that it's not just at the moment the meetings are a little bit one-sided in the sense that CERN does a lot of the talking. So if we could do a round table for each rock where they could just briefly go through their outstanding tickets and why they're not closed, perhaps. Maybe we'll try that format for next time so that people can prepare. Right, the action items, the wiki hasn't been updated. We'll try and do that after this meeting. We'll update it with the action items that we've got from this meeting. And any other business?
Yeah, for databases, we will have in a couple of weeks, depending on the experiment agreement, to apply the security, the Oracle security patches onto the production racks, classes to tier zero. Atlas is done, and we still have to do for CMS, LHTV. And okay, for all the other WCG related cluster. And otherwise, to mention is the current intervention at CNAF for the LHCB RFC, which is happening now, and the downtime of SARA until the 1st of February, still, of course, going on.
Okay, thank you.
This is Joe Kaiser again from Fermilab. Can we keep that on the agenda for next week, please? The SAM test issue? I mean, the problem at FNAL is that we deal with a significant amount of data, and the decache system has to do something with that, and there's a bunch of cleanup that happens during the evening hours when these SAM tests are failing. And the fact that we deal with so much data is what introduces the latencies that make those tests fail. And since the CMS experiment itself was happy to accommodate us in this fashion, I want to make sure that this doesn't get dropped so that we can see that there is a SAM-specific, site-specific solution to adapting to local conditions. So please leave it on the agenda.
Okay, will do. Right, does anyone else have any other business? In that case, we'll close here and expect most people to join the 5 o'clock CCR C08 meeting. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.